boy Max, the WrestleManiac, if you will, back again with another episode of the WrestleManiac UK show. Hope everyone is doing well. It's been a really good week. Obviously, there's been a lot going on in the world of wrestling. Just things are heating up now, very entertaining. We saw Jade Cargill move to WWE and she was announced all with the bells and whistles and everything like that. They went one step further. They announced her on Fastlane. They debuted her on Fastlane. She has now appeared on WWE programming officially. Yeah, we're going to get into that in this pod. And also, Edge. Like, boy, it was great to see Edge in AEW and bedding in straight away on Dynamite, on Collision this week as well. Awesome. Awesome, awesome stuff. I'm very happy to kind of just see he's kind of settled in so quickly and he's having a blast. And then of course the rumors that CM Punk is in talks with WWE. Like, this guy's not finished, mate. Look in my eyes, what do you see? He's going back to WWE. Honestly, like, it's crazy. I didn't think that, you know, that's where we would be going with CM Punk, like, but here we are. We're going to run it back. And I can't wait to see it. I've done a little breaking news brief kind of thing on my channel. If you want to check that out, WrestleManiac UK on YouTube, with all the deets and my thoughts on CM Punk returning to the E. Yeah, that could be very, very interesting. But I'm here today to talk about Fastlane. WWE Fastlane happened this past weekend. B pay-per-view, as they call it. You know, just kind of moving stories along, culminating some stories, a couple things changing, a couple things happening. So, yeah, watch this. And I had to get none other than my guy, Anafi, with me on the podcast to kind of go through things that happened on this Fastlane show. So yeah, without further ado, we're going to jump straight into it. Do all the usual things. Please hit the rating button, drop a rating and a review if you can. If you're listening on, you know, Apple, on Spotify, it's just a rating, but I'd appreciate it if you do that for me, please. And then yeah, we're going to get into this one. Myself and Anafi, rest things in the building. We're talking WWE Fastlane. Enjoy. Cool. So joining me right now, it is my brother. I can't go far and wide for all these different kind of guests. Sometimes you have to go home and bring through the special guests right at home. Yeah. So I got my bro Anafi joining me at this time. Bro, what are you saying?
I'm good, bro. I'm good, man. Arsenal won today. Yeah, feeling ecstatic, man. What can we say, bro? Like, Fastlane was a decent show as well. But yeah, man, let's get into it, man.
Yeah, man, it's been a good week. It's been a good weekend, and we were even saying, you know, it's gonna be a good month. Like, this is both for our months.
October's for yours.
Yeah. We're both celebrating our birthdays this month. We're both celebrating anniversaries as well. Yeah. So yeah, busy month. But yeah, we've had a good weekend, and you know, we're here to talk to you guys about Fastlane. Yeah. I thought, let me bring through Anafi, especially because we're part of a little predictions league.
Yeah.
So you know, it's given an extra va-va-voom when we watch these pay-per-views.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's good fun, and you know, there was some shocking results on this pay-per-view, least to say. Well, I know you said you didn't catch the first match. Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso up against the Judgment Day for the WWE Undisputed Tag Team Championships. But when you saw the result, what were you thinking?
Bro, I was livid because it's like, obviously my predictions, I put Judgment Day because I think it was sort of cool. Dominic lost the title, he's now got it back. This means that now they're going to try and hold it for longer. For me to wake up the next day or even wake up like with the last two matches left and see that Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso are the new champions, I'm like, what was the point of what happened with Trick Williams last week? It's annoying. Like, Trick Williams could have had a lengthy reign, like a long reign, whatever. But does that now mean on Monday Night Raw they're gonna try and get the back titles back? Why is it not? What's like? I don't know. I'm happy for Cody Rhodes, by the way. Like, it's a decade, right?
Yeah.
He says it's a decade since he won the title. So, like, we're not 1-8 out on WWE. So, I'm happy for him. Happy for Jay as well. I'm seeing, like, these two. Wait, what do they call? What do they call MJF and Adam?
It's odd couple, bro. Brochachos.
With Brochachos.
The Brochachos.
Brochachos feel like they got here is nice as well. So, yeah, man. I wonder how this is gonna go. Like, I think we'll probably get to a point where when Roman comes back, Roman's gonna be like, "Why are you two together? What's going on here?" I don't know. You'll see, man. I think it can get a bit exciting again, but you'll see.
Yeah, it's very odd. Like, I've never been a fan of like the odd couples winning tag team titles. It works every now and again, but I prefer tag team titles to stay with actual teams and factions and stuff like that. And for me, it just kind of shows like we still don't really have a plan for Cody Rhodes in the interim. Like, we know the long-term plan, but like right now it's just like
mad filler.
Yeah, it's hella filler. Like, the tag team titles, really? Like, but, you know, the match itself, the match was fun. The match was good. Judgment Day have been doing some great work in the ring. Yeah, whether it's with this team or with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, they've been doing some very, very fun stuff. And they are just, like, they've taken over, like, the mantle of what the Bloodline were doing. And they just running the show with great storylines and great funds, infighting as well. But now they've lost the tag team title. What do you think is going to be the... Obviously, we saw on the night, Damian Priest was going to... He wanted to go cash in.
Yeah.
And Finn was saying, no. And then Priest was not listening to him. And then Rhea Ripley stepped forward and said, we said we're going to take our time with this. We ain't doing this. She confiscated the briefcase from my man. And he just sat down and chilled. Do you think we're now entering like a stage in the Judgment Day's life cycle of we've gone from everyone's an equal and there's no leaders to Rhea Ripley is the de facto leader of this group?
I'm getting that feeling. Rhea Ripley is now the leader confirmed. Even from, I think it was SmackDown where she told everyone to get out and it was her and Paul Heyman discussing.
Yes.
She's the leader. If not leader, then she's a manager. And I'm sure nothing as well. That title needs to be gone. She needs to lose that title and focus on this whole leader thing and make it a proper...
You reckon?
Suit, bro. Honestly, make her like a proper, like... Do you get what I mean? Like a nice, like make her leader thing. Obviously, she have a match here and there, whatever, but I'm liking this leader look. Like, it's fitting for her still.
Do you remember early Judgment Day, they were wearing suits when Edge was still the leader?
Yeah.
They were wearing, like, black and purple kind of suits stuff like that. Like... I don't know about maybe going all the way. And I think she still needs her title, but they just still need to make her dominant and win. Like, they need to do something because right now she's just literally holding the title and she looks great with it and her character work is great. But as a champion, she's not really proven herself or doing anything going above and beyond in that aspect. She's just more so intimidating Mandem and being involved in Mandem stuff, which
rather than
automatically makes her better than the women sort of thing. Yeah, it's a weird one, but for me, yeah, she's definitely the leader, and especially obviously she's been off TV for a while, so selling the Nia Jax injury, and then she's come back in the last 2 weeks and literally just cleaned up the Judgment Day's act. Yeah. Even told Dom, like, don't come home if you don't win back the title. Like, yeah, she's on smoke.
Yeah, I'm liking it a lot. Even you see the fear in Dominic's face, like. Even when she was blasting outside, when she was blasting JD McDonough?
JD McDonough, yeah.
When they lost the title, she was blasting outside. I'm like, okay, cool. Rhea Ripley, she has something. Even, nothing as well, it's a bit random, yeah? But the whole Rhea Ripley, Jey Uso thing as well, that they've got going. It's funny. I like it a lot. The standoff that he had outside as well is pretty sick. But I think Jey Uso, like, he kind of deeps it. Oh, it's Black History Month, bro. Like, we had to stay on track. Got to stay on track. So... I'm backed off a bit, but it was very shocking, very surprising. It messed me up a lot in terms of that was the first strike I got.
Messed me up as well.
I'm sure no one picked Jey Uso and Cody.
To be fair, when I was doing my predictions, I said there's no way Cody's gonna lose. I said Cody ain't gonna lose, but I chose Judgment Day. Mm. But I said, you know, yeah, they can pin Jey Uso in it, like. Like, but Cody losing, did he want to do that? But they get put the straps on Cody and Jay, and it's going to be very interesting to see where they go from here. Obviously, when they lose it, you're expecting Jey Uso to get pinned.
Yeah.
And I think they said on Friday this week on SmackDown, Triple H is going to be on the show. So a lot of people are speculating now, are they getting new tag team titles or something, or splitting the titles? Exactly.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see where they go from here. But as a match, it was a good opening match. It was good fun sort of thing. I'm just loving the Judgment Day right now. They're so good. Do you think JD McDonagh should actually officially join this group? Or
he's really there, man. He's breaking his back for them, man. He's doing a lot for them. Out of everyone in Judgment Day, he's actually going out there and trying to make a difference. Trying to win them over. I don't know if he's a rat. I don't know if he's a snip, but he's definitely got a plan to like always try and help out the man in the minute. So, and he's a great wrestler as well. He'll be a nice addition to the team. At first, I thought he was going to be the person I was going to try and take Finn Balor away. But I think them as an actual group makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. It was on SmackDown when they came out. Did they come out for someone's match on SmackDown? I can't remember.
Was it at the end when everyone was standing face to face?
Yeah. Just before Jey Uso came out, it was just when the Judgment Day came out. Yeah, because they came out for Jey Uso. That's what happened. Or for Jimmy, sorry.
Jimmy,
when they came out and there was five of them, I was thinking, bro, this is cold because it's like NWO. Don't get like more than a four-man faction these days.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, JD McDonagh in there and he looks the part already. Obviously, we've seen him on TV with them for quite a while now. Maybe they can get one more person in there, like a big six-person faction. Like, yeah, I think that'd be dope.
Who do you think could be in it?
You know what?
Joe Gacy.
It's a good shout because of Spooky Bollocks that he does. I'm thinking of those other girls as well. The ones that lost the tag team title. Abba Fire and...
How can I forget her name? Sorry. But yeah, I'm fine.
The witch
character.
Because I think they've started having vignettes on TV again recently. But like, put them in there, get the women's tag team titles on them. Yeah. Like, yeah, it just makes sense just because of the nature of the thing. But to be fair, Judgment Day aren't really spooky so much. They just
I thought it was spooky.
In that stake. Yeah, I mean that was the plan until Edge said nah. And then they just kicked out Edge.
So,
kicked man all the way to AEW.
Yeah, he's now even using that to... This is off topic. I know we're talking about fasting, but yeah, when Aeon Fink said to Christian that you need to watch out for Luchasaurus and Nick Wayne because they're going to use your information and kick you out one day.
And there's that's true. Great. Oh, that's a good reference, in fact. Moving on. LWO going up against Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits. This was the first kind of outing for this Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits faction or whatever. They don't even have a name right now. I don't even know why we're delaying so much on that. There's rumors that come out the other day that they're going to add Odyssey Jones to the faction.
That's a shout. I think that's a very smart move to go for because obviously we've heard about Odyssey Jones being on Raw, but he's never shown up yet. And obviously, seeing him in NXT, he's quite fast. He's quite big, he's a powerful guy in it, so having him as part of the thing and having Bobby Lashley just sit back and watch these new guys take control and rip the whole scene apart makes sense, man. So he's like the Mark Henry, like a bit like a Mark Henry at the group, isn't
it? Yeah, literally. Yeah. So, yeah, it would be good if he joined because, yeah, all now he's been called up and we ain't seen him forever, so that would be good. Now, LWO, obviously, they had Joaquin Wilde and what's that guy's name? I can't remember the other guys.
I only remember when I see 2K.
The thing is, they changed his name, so I can't remember what he's... but yeah.
Cruz Del Toro.
Cruz Del Toro, that's it.
Yeah,
they got taken out, and all of a sudden, LWO need a guy. The match starts 3-on-2. I guess Bobby Lashley and the Profits fail to capitalize, and eventually Carlito comes. Were you surprised? Were you expecting him? Or
So this is my prediction. So obviously we added a new rule. I'm calling it the Deloitte rule. And one of the rules was like, okay, you can guess if this Jay Cargo's going to show up, or you're going to guess if who's going to be on the team. I went for Dragon Lee because I felt like Dragon Lee was on TV a lot, and he was kind of like intertwined with the whole LWO stuff.
Yeah.
I was cheap for that. I should have kept to my gut and picked Carlito. My shots, no, because obviously he came out for the Puerto Rico thing. Yeah. And apparently those rumours are as per Fightfuls and all that sort of stuff that he's been signed since the summer. So I think what a good time to bring him up. But his song, though, like they... Apparently, as per, I think I saw Sean Rossap said that maybe what must have happened is that the reason why he took long to come out is because they couldn't clear his song or something, so they had to make a song on the spot. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense. You can't make a song on the spot. Like,
I saw SRS tweet that, and I think he was bannering. He must have been bannering. But yeah, you're looking for the iconic, you know, I spit in the face of people who don't want to be cool.
You want to hear that, bro? But
it didn't come. I think people saw the name, people got excited, but it didn't hit the same. But he looks great. He returned, he cleared ring, dropped a finisher, LWO got the win, and I didn't expect that either.
I'm not gonna tell you what. Actually, did I go for LWO? No, I didn't go for LWO. See, I picked Bobby Lashley and
likewise.
I'm thinking they're gonna come and just like, because they've been beating them up for the past couple weeks,
yeah,
and damage and stuff. So I would have thought that the hills aren't going over. But I don't know. It's WWE. WWE is very hard to predict this sort of stuff. Mm. Like it changes. Like obviously, if you go with your gut, sometimes it can work. But if you just put it out there, it's hard. I tried to watch SmackDown to try and get a gauge of how things happen, and then it looked like Street Profits and Bobby Lashley were gonna win this, but you know, it fell through, man.
I thought the only reason LWO would win is because of this person that they were going to bring in. Yeah, but I still thought they're trying to get over this new faction of Lashley and the Profits, so they're not going to lose here.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing as well.
It was weird. Moving on, we had a women's title match. But before the women's title match began, they took us backstage. They showed us what I guess happened earlier in the day. Who was in attendance for this? None other than Jade Cargill. Rolls in. I didn't remember the front of the car. I didn't see it. Maybe it's like an Escalade type vehicle. She comes out the back passenger, looking like $1 million. She's walking. It's paparazzi, video, media, all there. The way they've kind of framed it. She takes off her sunglasses. She's met by Triple H. None other than the COO of the company. They shake hands. He's walking her off into maybe, I don't know, some VIP area. Or
they're going to the chairman's office. They're going to sit down and discuss.
That's right.
We don't know what's been said. We're just going to sit down and discuss.
And on commentary, they're selling it completely. Like, you know, this is the big star that they've brought in, this, that, and the other, blah, blah, blah. They're just rolling out the red carpet for her, aren't they?
Yeah, they're twerking for her mad, and I'm here for it. They are twerking all fours, but they're even on the ground, they're even in splits, and they're twerking like this. I'm here for it, though. Bro, like, her coming out, it still feels surreal seeing Jay Cargill.
Yeah.
Obviously, she had the little, they've changed up her attire a bit. I think that's probably like her attire B. She's not going
to
wrestle.
But that's it. But it's very similar to, again, what she was last seen wearing an AEW for her last match against Chris Statlander. It's different, but it's pretty much the same. It has a grey, silver, just like a bikini looking set thing, but wrestling gear, I guess. And I think it's definitely this thing of the same way that they did with Cody and now they're doing with Jade. They're just literally picking up a character that everyone knows what this person looks like and everything like that. And we're just picking them up as is and dumping them in WWE. So it's like a continuation sort of thing. Like, this person has literally left this universe and turned up in this universe now as is. We're not changing nothing. So I mean, we'll see what her music is like or whatever the case is, but her name is the same, which is very important. Aesthetically, she looks like she's still the same. They look like they're gonna sell her as even more of a megastar than AEW ever did. I really think this is the presentation is very, very interesting, and I guess we're still waiting to see where she turns up, like in terms of brand and stuff like that. Triple H spoke very highly of her in the press conference and stuff, and that she wants to learn and get in and do a good job for the team as in WWE. So, it's very impressive what they're doing with her and how they're presenting her.
No, I definitely agree, man. Even like going back to the point you saying how what WWE done with obviously same thing done with Cody, like taking him out of this universe and putting into their own universe. Like, I just hope this is a thing going on, like an ongoing thing from now on. For example,
yeah,
if Ricky Starks now signs, it's straight Ricky Starks. If Wardlow comes in, it's Wardlow. People know these guys, innit? They're already, can I say, household names to wrestling communities. There's no need to change it no more. Gone are the days where you bring in Ultimate Warrior or Sting, I don't know, someone, unless they own the name, which is understandable. But if they don't own the name and the wrestler's fine with them coming in and doing whatever, then yes, bro, don't change it, man. I think Edge works because obviously it's different, isn't it? When Edge goes to AEW, it works because obviously we know the technicalities, but someone else coming over, yeah.
It's like we were saying on the podcast the other day, like, I think the fact that they got the rated R superstar is a nice touch. It's enough. So because they can refer to him as that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And we know they're talking about Edge, but he's now called Adam Copeland. But aesthetically, he is still the same. He's got the music with which he's kept. So
Yeah.
It's good. It's good for continuity and good for the brands of the individual stars and stuff. But on the night we got Io Sky defending her WWE Women's title against Asuka and Charlotte Flair in a triple threat match. Really fun match. One thing I loved about this match, straight out the gate, they got rid of Io Sky out the ring. Asuka, bam, hits Charlotte Flair with a mist. Then goes to pin her. And I was like, oh my God, like, is this going to be it? Like, is this glitch going to be the match? Because mist is usually something you see as a finisher.
The finale.
Exactly. Like, so it's for her to just bang that straight out the gate. And I was just like, yo, like, it didn't finish her off. Good match. We saw Bayley get involved against Io Sky's wishes. But then Bayley kind of proved herself in the end to, I think she kind of, what did she do? She distracted the referee.
Yes, I saw her distracting the referee. So she pulled the referee.
Io Sky hit a moonsault on Charlotte, who had Asuka in a figure eight, and Asuka had tapped, but the referee didn't see it. Hits the moonsault, pins Charlotte, which is like a first. Like, people just don't pin Charlotte in these kind of situations.
Yeah.
Retains the title. What did you think of this one?
Bro, this is another thing that messed up my prediction. So I don't know why, obviously, going into the match, I see Asuka seemed a bit dominant more than obviously Charlotte Flair. So I thought that cool. Maybe they might bounce the title to Asuka for a few months, then Asuka loses it again. So I went with Asuka. My pick was Asuka. So obviously, now that I've now woken up and obviously caught the last two matches and probably caught the end of this match, I see Io Shirai's one, innit? And I'm like, feck. I should have went in my gut, man. I should have went in my gut. But it's good to see that Io Shirai is... it's good to see that Io Shirai won. I'm sure there's going to be more stuff after this. I'm just waiting for the breakup of Damage Control. Like, I'm waiting for Bayley to turn or to do something dumb. Obviously, she's done something dumb before, but it needs to be cemented. Like, it's done. Like, I'm only using you because I'm trying to get close to that belt now. So, maybe, I don't know. Maybe we might see Jade Cargill's first opponent be Io Shirai.
I mean, it's possible. It's possible. I think your point on Bayley is a valid one.
Mm.
I think Bayley, as obviously we know, she's been sent in as the leader of Damage Control and all of this kind of stuff, and to help to get the others over. Dakota Kai got injured, so Io Sky is ultimately the only project to work on.
Yeah.
But I feel like Bayley in herself has taken a lot of has lowered her stock quite a bit within Damage Control. I think you can get people over without lowering your stock, and the way they've maybe booked Bayley, it hasn't done her any favors. For me, she's still very entertaining, and I love having Bayley on screen and stuff like that, but she's not a threat at all.
We're not scared of her. Like, if you see for example Raquel Gonzalez, obviously she catches L's, but she looks like she's gonna cause damage, innit? She's not
scared. Bayley doesn't beat anyone these days. She lost a feud to Shotzi because she was scared when Shotzi cut her hair and Shotzi beat her in 5 minutes. Like, it's not where Bayley should be. Like, she should be a bit more, like, they've kind of got her doing, like, she's a heel, but it's kind of like comedic heel sort of thing. At the same time, I think she should be doing like tactical, sly, like strategic, maniacal wins sort of thing. Like she doesn't have to be losing all the time.
But does that only help if the rest of the guys are very cheeky as well? And obviously, they're all coming out. Do you see how Judgment Day are? Whenever someone has a match from Judgment Day, everyone's in on it. For example, it's Finn Balor versus, for example, Edge. somehow, yeah, Damian Priest will come and help Finn Balor, and they'll win. And after they all cheat together, if Damian Priest is wrestling Undertaker, Finn Balor will come and help. I feel like that needs to happen with Damage Control. I feel like it's only going one way.
Yes.
The rest of the time, like, I'm trying to be a good person. I'm not trying to, you know, I'm trying to win this match clean. But if Damage Control really want to be causing up things in this, causing up a stir in the whole scene, then yeah, they need to go through that route.
You're right. And it hasn't helped that obviously Dakota Kai has been injured for a long period. So it's literally just left Io Sky, until recently, it's just left Io Sky and Bayley together. And then Io Sky started like organically getting over. So then they didn't really want to make her a bad guy. They just wanted to put the title on her, sort of thing. So yeah, Bayley's been left just cheating for Io Sky. Io Sky saying, don't cheat for me. Then even on this occasion, Io Sky was happy that Bayley cheated for her. And then Io Sky doesn't cheat for Bayley, so the Bayley just loses all the time.
Or it's like a clumsy, I don't know, like whenever I watch Bayley's matches, it comes across like her losses come across very clumsy. It's like it's her fault that normally causes it. And that's why, if Io Shirai was really on it, then she'll come and help her out on it. I call it Io Sky.
It's I don't know. Damage Control, they need to kind of start coming to the crescendo of whatever their story is. I thought maybe they're doing it because obviously a couple of weeks ago Charlotte called out Bayley and said, what happened to you? Like, you used to be stuff like, and that might start getting Bayley looking at the title, like you said. And then it was kind of done. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but when Io Sky won this match and they were walking all up the aisleway, she was clutching onto her titles going, I love damage control. So it's like, you know, you're kind of saying something you love, but it's like, it's going to turn on you. It's going to be the end of
everything.
So maybe they're going to start putting it in the works, but yeah.
This is the preseason Survivor Series coming up, man.
Yeah.
That seems where a lot of things go wrong, man. So yeah, they should run it for that.
That could be a good point. Yeah. Next up on the show, we had John Cena and LA Knight going up against the Bloodline, Jimmy Uso, Solo Sikoa. This match, yeah, I don't know. I couldn't concentrate personally. How did you see this match?
Yeah, so this is the match I came up for. So luckily, when I've woken up, I turned on the TV and was like, luckily it was like 2 o'clock. Turned it on, and this is, they played a vignette. They had a vignette before the match. So I watched it and I was like, fit. So what was my match, yeah? It was nice seeing LA Knight and John Cena in the ring together. And it was also nice seeing John Cena doing high fly maneuvers as well, jumping on the top. But you're right, I couldn't concentrate. I don't know what it was. I was dozing at certain points as well. I was like, don't know what it was.
For me, yeah, like the Jimmy Uso, like we can see he's trying to be some type of tribal chief. He's trying to be a shot caller in this current version of the Bloodline. But it's almost too comedic for me.
Yeah, rather than him being like serious, like respect me. He should even acknowledge me as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, he should use that thing. But yeah, I get what you mean. It's too comedic.
I think he should be his like, obviously people got over and were acknowledging Roman because of his general fear, and he was winning matches and all that kind of stuff. But I feel like Jimmy should also almost be more so of a, like, shouting at the crowd, acknowledge me, and people are booing him. He's like, no, acknowledge me, sort of thing. Like, he's trying to force them to get that respect, sort of thing. But right now, he's just doing too much comedy, in my opinion. And I don't know.
This one's SmackDown.
I saw that. Yeah. It's too much comedy for the role you're doing. But, I mean, ultimately, they're trying to show that he's not up to standard for the role in it as tribal chief, which is fine. I get that. But yeah, I don't know. He's just making the whole Bloodline story to me not feel so serious. And then you have the likes of John Cena. John Cena was in that ring for ages taking a beat down. And obviously that's usually the way. And then you get the hot tag. But I'm just not interested in seeing John Cena wrestle.
I think that's where I'd rather have it the other way, where LA Knight is getting... he's getting trashed. Obviously, John Cena gets... obviously, it's going to be a... it won't be as, like... LA Knight got his pop. When he came in, it was a mad pop. But if LA Knight was on the receiving end and he was getting beaten up, and after he got the hot tag with John Cena, I think the pop would have been bigger, but it would have been... LA Knight would have eventually won the pin, right? And got the pin as well. But yeah, seeing LA Knight out of action for time and seeing John Cena struggle and getting beaten up by a Solo, and it's just like, yeah. I don't know. I think that's where it goes off.
Yeah, it was just too long for me in that respect. And to be honest, I'm not really a fan. I love the Usos in the ring and Solo. I even loved Solo's like performances in the ring. I'm not a fan of John Cena as a wrestler, like within the ropes. Never really have been.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've never really enjoyed. Like, I don't mind Cena. Like, Dr. Thugonomics was my guy. Yeah, like. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But when he transformed into John Cena and the moveset, it is all becomes very the pantomime, follow along sort of stuff. Like, that's where you lost me. And then LA Knight as well, I don't feel is the most intriguing person between the ropes as well. So it's just the match I just didn't really care for. But obviously they got the win, and it just looks like it's just more fuel for whatever they plan to do with LA Knight.
Because
even for him to get the win in a Cena match is big, as if John Cena's not there. So, yeah, what do you think is realistically coming in the near future for LA Knight?
I don't see LA Knight, this going to sound mad, but I don't see LA Knight like being in that whole. I see him in the main title scene, but I see him as like a person that's like the bride. Yeah, he gets on Trini, but he never wins, or he never gets to the big part, whatever. But I see LA Knight going for like a title, like the US title. The Intercontinental, once it's been let off from Gunter to like a mid-card title guy. That's where I see it now. But with wrestling's weird. Things can change in an instant. They can somehow sell him and change his packaging, and he becomes this mad. Because when Poema came out on Friday night, SmackDown, yeah, he was like, I know a star when I see one. And he was talking about LA Knight. So I'm at that then point, I was like, oh, imagine if Paul Heyman was behind LA Knight. Obviously, we saw what he done with Cesaro. It didn't really work. But imagine if Paul Heyman was with LA Knight and LA Knight changed his moveset a bit. He's like, it probably might work. I don't know. It probably might work. But for now, I just see him as a mid-card thingy, a mid-card thing, man.
Yeah. For me, like, as much as I enjoy, you know, when his music hits, the crowd go wild, and they sell it to me that every time that he's a megastar sort of thing, he comes in and everyone's doing LA Knight, and everyone's doing all of that stuff. Like, deep down, I know, respectfully, it's just a catchphrase. Like, that's all he is right now. Like, even in ring, like I said, I'm not really interested. But I could definitely see the United States title in his future.
Yeah, thanks.
Maybe a big WrestleMania win. He wins the United States title in, like, a ladder match or something like that. Yeah. I think that would be a lot of fun. You know, 60,000 people going LA. Like, that could be
cool. It's like, I just remember the Money in the Bank thing happened, I wanted him to win the Money in the Bank, but then I got he was the Money in the Bank, but where does it actually go from? I think they're one of the best choices to win that Money in the Bank, because the work he's doing now is epic, bro.
Yeah, it's incredible. Like, and that was my one reason. As much as I liked the gas of LA Knight, I said if he wins this title, like, winning the title basically means that you are ready to become world champion somewhat. And if LA Knight was on Raw, although brand split basically means nothing. Like, if he was on Raw and with that world heavyweight title, that secondary world title, I would have probably thought, okay.
Yeah.
And that's more so why I was like, Damian Priest is winning this, because Damian Priest is definitely someone that is being prepared for a big one. And we can see the work he's doing now. Yeah. You're basically saying if LA Knight was going to win Money in the Bank this year, he would have to take down Roman Reigns.
Yeah, basically, Roman Reigns or Seth Rollins.
It's a myth.
Forget that one. Still, I like LA now, but I can't imagine him pinning Roman Reigns in that finish shot.
No way. Yeah, that finish shot. What do they call it? BMT or BFT or something.
What it's called, but yeah.
Blood Falls Trauma. Yeah. Oh, I don't know, man. Yeah. It's not the one. Like, it's not the one. But I'm here for the gas. I'm here for the enjoyment, the sing-along catchphrases. That's it. And it ends there for me personally. And then we got the main event. Seth Rollins, Shinsuke Nakamura, last man standing for the World Heavyweight title. I know you said you weren't happy with how this ended. I wanted Shinsuke to win, although I put in my prediction Seth Rollins.
Oh, you're a good guy. I put Shinsuke on Sophia. He's already had a match before. Surely this is the one. this is the one that he's gonna just put him like down, because he's been selling this whole thing that his back is broken. We saw the whole match that Finn was targeting his back. Even when he threw him on the thing, he's been targeting his back. Like, even when he sprayed the, what do you call it, the red mist.
The red mist.
By the way, they should never spray red mist again. I'm sorry. I don't know if that's one of them. But it looks like blood. Like, don't do red mist again, bro. Do pink or black or something. I don't know. But red mist, I was like, yeah, this is, yeah. I think it's done. So when Seth woke up and I was like, bro. Like, when is Shinsuke going to get his chance again? Like, is it done?
Bruv, I don't think, like, for me, there's different little chances, like little windows, innit? Like, I previously said Finn Balor, like, between Money in the Bank and SummerSlam, that was the window for me.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, it's really got to happen here. Like, for you to come round and for Finn to win it after this opportunity...
Yeah.
I don't know how you're going to do that. And it's the same thing with Shinsuke Nakamura. You've made someone that has, for a long time, felt like a mid-carder to us. He's went away. He's wrestled in Noah earlier this year. He's come back. So that's kind of put a bit of new gloss on him again. You've built him up somewhat. You've got him to the world title picture. You've made him look like a decent competitor. Like, and then he hasn't won on two occasions now.
It's poor, man.
I watched the vignette. I don't know if they played it on SmackDown or so before I done my predictions. And on the go-home show for Raw, he absolutely flogged Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Like, dropping him on that chair, beating him up, counting maniacally. One, two, three, doing the last man standing count. And I thought, as I watched it and I was doing my predictions, I just thought, he's not winning. Because he's beating him up here. He's flogged him here. Yeah, like, Seth has to now get his own back. You see what I mean? Like, and I just thought, this is such a shame, because they've built him up to, like I say, and this should be it. And it's like, where does he go from here?
Like, there was, like I said, there was many points in the match where Shinsuke could have won. I think there was a moment when it was outside, Seth was outside, and it was like, nine. That's a Seth just climbed up. He stood on the thing like that.
Yeah. Like,
it's like, bro, come on, man. What else does this guy have to do? But nevertheless, it was a very hardcore match, very extreme match. There's a lot of tables and chairs and ladders that was used, so that was cool. But yeah, the results should have been different. And I think that was the final. That's something that messed me up. The big time predictions. So
it was a good match. With Seth Rollins, I feel like everyone is just waiting for him to lose now.
Yeah, yeah.
You never want a title reign to get to this point. Like, when someone does lose, it's just because they've been great. And like with Orange Cassidy, like we saw in AEW, when he lost the title, it's because his body, they've literally been telling us this guy's body is broken. Like, and you know, they're telling a similar story here in WWE, but literally at nine, every count of last man standing, every time it gets to nine, Seth finds a way to stand up.
It's frustrating, bro.
There is an element of frustration, 100%. Like, when he pushed him through the table from the ladder, I thought, that's a bit of a weak finish, but that should be it.
It makes sense, yeah. It makes sense.
Yeah, he's misted him, he's pushed him. It looked a bit weak. It didn't look very impactful, but that should be it.
Yeah, yeah.
And he got up, and I was conflicted, because like I said, I put on my predictions, I want Seth Rollins to win, Seth Rollins is going to win, but in my heart, I wanted Shinsuke Nakamura to win. And I was just thinking, Nakamura, he's not going to win here, just let's get this over and done with, innit? So it made it frustrating to watch. I 100% agree with that.
At this moment in time, I don't know who else is going to beat Seth for this title. Obviously, there's reports that CM Punk is going to come back to WWE eventually. Because CM Punk, the person that beat Seth Rollins for the title, I don't know. Is Gunther even interested in this title? We don't know. Cody's definitely not going for that title. Who else is going to beat Seth for the title? Is Seth going to have to vacate himself?
No, it's interesting. And ultimately, like I always say, they made out that this title was made to move around and give others an opportunity, this, that, and the other. And it's been on Seth for the best part of, where are we now? October, 6 months or so? No, since that Mania, since that after Mania-ish.
Yeah.
So maybe about 5 months or so he's held this title. And it makes it sound like we have an issue with Seth Rollins. I don't have an issue with Seth Rollins. He's one of the best in-ring performers this company has, but it's just they don't book him he's like a champion by chance, the way they book him, sort of thing. Like
he's always getting through to get through to the win, like a bit.
Yeah, it's not like dominating.
Yeah.
Like, and we've got a Shinsuke Nakamura that they've built up and had two opportunities and not done it. We've had a Finn Balor, which they've built up, had two opportunities, and he's not done it. We've got Damian Priest, who's cooking and holding a briefcase. When is he going to pull the trigger?
Yeah, I forgot about Damian Priest. Can I say this mad thing, yeah? What if, yeah, Damian Priest holds the briefcase all the way to WrestleMania, yeah? But then again, this fucks up Cody. So he, obviously, we see people are like having friction, yeah? Cody's stolen his tag team titles at one point during this whole run, yeah? WrestleMania happens, Cody beats Seth for the title, Damian Priest cashes in.
On Cody?
Yes.
Not a chance, not happening.
what if WWE won't do that stuff, but I'm just saying, what if that was the case?
There'll be a lot of angry people, that's for sure.
You're catching up with Elimination Chamber for money, sir.
Elimination Chamber?
Whoever's got a title.
I mean, I don't mind. I think, you know, they've now said on this pay-per-view that, you know, they're going to take their time with the cash-in. So they can maybe, you know, we've never had someone hold the Money in the Bank briefcase until the day before it's going to expire. Yeah, they've got till Money in the Bank 2024 to cash in. So we've never seen someone hold it the entire stretch of the time. That could be something they do as well to really kind of push and make us see him. Depending who they want to make Damien. I think Damien's going to win it when he cashes in.
Yeah, facts.
And the only way he doesn't is, I guess, the speculated way that a lot of fans are saying is that when McDonough gave him this new briefcase, that McDonough kept back the real contract, Finn Balor. Yeah. Like, that's the real one that Finn Balor's going to have and do something, maybe. Yeah. Which I would absolutely love. But
that's smart. I like that.
Yeah, but it'll make you think that basically all this time, Damian Priest hasn't opened the briefcase to check the actual contract is inside.
That's smart.
Yeah, it'll be good. It'll be good. But I, to be honest, I'm ready to see Damian Priest as world champion of this secondary world championship. I think he would be a very, very good one and use it to build up some credibility. And on top of everything, he deserves it. He's done some really good work. He's a new star for them in that aspect. So, yeah, why not give him an opportunity?
And believable as well. Like, he's a force in the ring. Like, you see Damian Priest, you know what to expect.
Exactly. You'll believe it, especially if the faction are still together behind him and stuff as well. That was Fastlane. How would you rate Fastlane out of 5?
Fastlane, I'll say 3 out of 5. They wow me as most other PLEs this year. The previous PLE we had was... What's the previous one again? Remind me again.
The previous one?
Not the previous one, but the last pay-per-view that we just had.
The last pay-per-view? Ooh, what was the last pay-per-view? SummerSlam and then... God, I can't remember.
Last pay-per-view being good. So it didn't really wow me like that. I felt like I was watching a big SmackDown.
A big SmackDown.
Oh, Payback. No, Payback wasn't good. Sorry, Payback wasn't good. I didn't enjoy Payback like that.
It was all right. I think it was better than this. Payback was definitely better than Fastlane.
Actually, no, Payback was good. I had the same feeling with the whole Seth and Shinsuke thing.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that kind of like rubbed me the wrong way. But other than that, it was decent. It was all right.
Payback was better than Fastlane, in my opinion. Yeah, I'll give Fastlane a 3 as well.
Yeah.
3 out of 5. It was 5 matches. It probably could have done, but we're always saying AEW got too many matches, and now they've given us a 5-card pay-per-view. I would say this card could have probably done with one more match.
One more match, who else should have booked for this pay-per-view?
That's the question. I don't know.
Gunter versus someone else again?
Yeah, I think these IC matches, like Gunter versus Ciampa, could have easily been that. We had that on Raw in the main event, and Johnny Gargano came back. That should have been on pay-per-view. Like, you could put that on a B pay-per-view like this. You know, Gunther, because I don't even know the last time Gunther defended that title on pay-per-view.
He didn't defend that at Payback. He hasn't defended it on...
I'm not sure, did he defend it at SummerSlam on pay-per-view?
SummerSlam he did. What's his name? Did he? McIntyre.
Okay, yeah, of course. I think they could have done Ciampa versus Gunther on a pay-per-view, and then bringing back Johnny Gargano on the pay-per-view would have been nice as well.
So
that's probably the one more match I would have added. But that was Fastlane 2023. Quickly, before we get out of here, like you mentioned, CM Punk is rumored to be in talks with WWE. I know, you know, you amongst the most, not a lot of people were upset when he left AEW, but I know you weren't too happy that, you know, thought the guy got kind of pushed out and it wasn't too fair. And now he may be returning to WWE against everything he's ever said about WWE and stuff like that.
It's the business, baby.
It's the business, bro. Never say never. Like, what's your initial thoughts on the rumors?
First of all, I'm very excited for this because when CM Punk was in WWE, I wasn't really watching WWE at the time, so I didn't really see what CM Punk was actually doing until I actually watched back, obviously, certain matches, for example, the match of him and John Cena at Money in the Bank. So I think it'll be good. It'll be nice to see CM Punk in WWE. We think it'll be fresh. I think CM Punk should be in a thing where it's like, obviously, he has his matches here and there, but we're not expecting to come do Banger Band this year. We're just here for the chaos, here for the whole, you know, Seth, I'm calling you out because you're blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And it's fine. But, obviously, he put a post up on his Instagram today. You know how CM Punk moves his crypto post? He put a post up, I think it was Doom. I think it was Doom, and he's like saying that how it's like a comic, and it says, let's make a truce, or something like that. And it goes, the truce has already been settled. So everyone's like, oh shit, CM Punk has already apologized to Roman Reigns. So, yeah, it's exciting times, man. It's great times. Like, the whole idea of having a wrestler be in this company and move to another company, and these are major companies. It's something that we've been missing for a very long time. And the fact that we've got it back, like, it's nice. So I'm excited, man. I'm excited. I just want to hear what theme song are we going to get?
The same one. Cole.
You're not going to get fight with it when the fire, was it when the fire burns?
No, we're getting Cole personally.
Boy, that's going to go off, you know.
Yeah, that's 100% gonna go off.
The merch is going to be flying. The merch
is the thing now. We've got Crown Jewel next month in WWE at the beginning of November, and then we've got middle of November or maybe towards the end, we've got Survivor Series, and that's in Chicago, and that's where everyone's expecting it to happen. I've seen some places report, I think PW Insider reported, it is as good as he is going to re-debut in Chicago Survivor Series.
Crazy.
Like, they're basically saying it's 90% sure, like, he is turning up there.
Crazy. Hey, do you know, okay, you know, I can't. We need to link up and watch this together.
we can, you know, see if we can run an event for it, innit?
That's gonna be epic. I'm even just imagining now the pop he's gonna get.
It's gonna be wild. Yeah. It's funny. It's like all's gonna be forgotten.
Maybe
another misdemeanor pops up. But I'm sure. I was saying on a breaking news that I put out that I'm sure within his contract, there's going to be so many stipulations that says, you know, if you even breathe without our permission, you are gone. Because of what he's done, especially in recent years, there's going to be a lot of tight things in his contract, which is going to try to keep him in line. But if there's anyone that knows the character they're dealing with, it's WWE. Yeah. So, and WWE respectfully isn't this free-for-all place that AEW appears to be, where everyone has a voice in AEW and everyone can contribute and do what they like to an extent. WWE is definitely, you know, a strict machine, and you are this cog that sits in here in the part of the machine, and don't come out of line. So we'll see what happens, but like you said, regardless, it is exciting for the product and something for us to talk about.
Could we also see AJ Lee come back as well, you reckon?
So AJ Lee obviously has commitments with Women of Wrestling. Wow. What? Gone? I don't know. I think she's still there. So, we'll see regardless. I think not. Regardless, I don't think we'll see her. But Punk to back to WWE. I never expected it.
Crazy. This is like, what is it? Ronaldo back. Not saying Ronaldo back to Figgy. He's really done Ronaldo back to Figgy. That was an AW. This is something else.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy, but we'll see if it comes true. Probably about 6 weeks out from finding out, really.
Yeah. Wrestling's fun, fam.
Yeah. It's fun, so we're having a good time right now.
Nah, for real.
Bro, I appreciate you coming through. I must say as well, I have to say here, in fact, that just thank you for all the help with my channel. Guys, all these new graphics, all these new bits you've been saying, oh, Mex, this looks so wicked and so cool and love the rebrand. This is the guy behind it, yeah.
We sat down together, though. We sat down together, planned everything out. It was like a lot, like, say, what, a month?
Working on it. I appreciate your efforts, bro. And stuff. Yeah, that's the next
thing. Need a logo tee, bro.
Yeah. And of course, you know, you guys that are watching, you can see Anafi's at on screen, but bro, if you want to just tell the people where they can find you and that.
Yeah, find me on Instagram, Anafi, Twitter, Anafi_FP. I'm trying to pay that guy that's got Anafi on Twitter, but he's not replying to my DMs. I said, bro, I'll send you $5 for Anafi. He's not replying back. His name is called William. He's in Ghana. He's not trying to keep that name. So Anafi on every single platform, but AnafiFP on Twitter. So, yeah,
and of course you can catch us both on the Rest Things channel at Rest Things as well with our weekly podcast and a lot of new content coming soon.
Yeah.
Coming towards the end of the year, so you lot know what's coming up. Yeah, you lot's favorite thing is coming. So make sure you tune in for that.
Yeah,
but yeah, appreciate you coming through, bro.
Cool. Love, man.
As always, big up my bro Anafi. That's my guy for real. Like I said, especially within the last 12 months or so, like he's just such a helpful hand, you know, such a real person that just wants everyone to succeed. And he's helped me a lot with my channel, my platform. If it's not from a design point of view, he's like taught me tricks on Premiere Pro for editing and, you know, taught me tricks on Photoshop. And he's just a godsend, honestly. Like, it's so good to have these people about. Just a good brother completely. And yeah, you know, we chopped up about Fastlane, chopped it up about CM Punk. He was upset. Like I didn't want to kind of put him back in the place of overthinking that CM Punk, or that feeling he had when CM Punk left AEW, was given his marching orders at AEW, but he was upset. So I'm glad that it looks like, you know, these are more than rumors and that CM Punk is more than likely returning to WWE. And yeah, that Survivor Series in November, it's gonna be one to watch for real. It's gonna be one to watch. So yeah, I can't wait. We'll see how it pans out. If Punk turns up, would be very, very fun. But yeah, you know, just some programming notes for the week. Thank you everyone for all the love on the Finn Balor video on my channel that I done, my first attempt at a video essay. There's things I've learned, things I'll do differently. And yeah, I'm just going on a roll with them now. I've created another one that, you know, if you're listening to the podcast the day it drops, that's the 10th of October or the 9th of October, sorry. If you're listening on the 9th of October, there should be a new video on my channel all about Adam Copeland and his debut and why it's a massive signing for AEW. So check out that video essay on my channel. Let me know what you think. Again, a lot of work goes into these. So, you know, give me your feedback and just, you know, how I can keep getting better and what you like about it and what you don't like. Just let me know. But yeah, I'll leave this one here. That was WWE Fastlane in the books, and we'll see what Monday Night Raw gives us. And obviously we're getting Triple H on the show. NXT is looking like main roster this week, so we'll see how we get on with WWE. And of course now with AEW, we are building towards Full Gear, which should be fun. But yeah, guys, appreciate all the love. Leave a review and a rating, share the podcast if you can as well. WrestleManiac UK signing out. And I'll see you soon.